remember, excuse me, Brother Durant just texted me and said him and two of his kids is down with this, got a fever and cold and all this stuff. So remember their family, the Durant family, they won't be here today. Also, Brother Joe Salas gave me one, says to remember him. He can't eat or talk sometimes. So remember Brother Joe, he's having some problems in here. And also Sister Gwen's sugar is high this morning. So remember those this morning. That's the ones I have. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that may be traveling or will be traveling, Lord. You be with them and guide them and bless them. Be with our services here today, Lord. Remember all the ones that we have a request for and the unspoken request. Be with us all and forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Good morning. God bless you. Everything's a little bit different this morning. Come expecting, ready to see something really, really great. So glad for all the work that everybody's done to put this together, the little skit that we're going to see this morning. But this morning, first of all, I appreciate Brother John. I guess he's listening in for taking the last couple of Sunday schools. And we had a really good time with all the brothers up in, all the people up in Irwin, Tennessee, with Brother Andre and all the saints up there. We're just going to take another little detour today from the book of Hebrews, and if the brothers can pull that up. Since we have all of this and everything, let's just talk about the birth of Christ this morning, just for a little Sunday school lesson. And we'll read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and some of chapter 2 as well. You know, most of the time if you're sitting around on Christmas Day or whatever and you're telling the story of Christ, you tend to read more maybe from the book of Luke. But Matthew has some interesting little nuggets that are not part of that story that he adds. So you got to put them all together, put all the four Gospels together to kind of get the complete picture of everything that happened. So let's read in Matthew chapter 1. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." He said, now this is how it happened. "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things," you think about how many times the scripture talks about people thinking about that. I think in Hebrews chapter 11, there's like three different times that points out that the people, they thought this is a gospel where we think about things. We're not just believing haphazardly, but we know what we believe. He said, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." He brings out two times already that this is not just a normal birth. This child is of the Holy Ghost. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Think how specific the angel was in telling him in this dream how everything, even to how he would be named. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, you notice a lot of this in verse 22. You just leave it up there, and we'll just refer back to the scripture. In verse 22, it says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." So everything that's being done here, you can just, there's so many scriptures that will fulfill all at once, all in just kind of a burst here in Jesus' birth. All of these scriptures, so all of the things that are happening are the word being fulfilled. And one of the things that's being fulfilled is that, you know, Christ is kind of he's a lamb. And so we know that Christ wasn't really born in December. It's cold outside, and we know that he wasn't born this time of year. He was born in the spring. And it's really important to kind of to get to have a perfect understanding of the picture, so that when you're studying the scripture and you're listening to Brother Branham preach on why it had to be shepherds, It had to be shepherds because shepherds know about sheep and those kind of things. You have to know that it wasn't the time of the year. Brother Ramon, in a message he was in, and we have seen a star and come to worship him, he said Christmas is the Roman Catholic conception of his birth. And he said Christmas has changed. The way we take Christmas, if you ever studied it, we're taking the Roman Catholic Church's conception of when Christmas was. And he goes on to talk about Christ and could not have been born on the 25th day of November, December, and so forth. And he said he talked about he came like nature. Nature in the spring is when everything comes up, and that's when Christ was born. He was born when lambs are born because he was a lamb. And you see, everything that's happening is to fulfill Scripture.
Right.
It's all fulfilling Scripture. In verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And a couple of things that are being fulfilled here is in Isaiah chapter 7, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That prophet Isaiah spoke that many hundreds of years before, and now people had wondered at that, and now right before their eyes, even though many in the world did not recognize, most in the world did not recognize it, now God was being manifested in flesh. That's maybe the point of the Christmas story. What were the Magi looking for? Christ in flesh. What was the shepherds looking for? Christ in flesh.
Amen.
And now, and if you go to Matthew chapter 2, scroll down to Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, and we're going to be scrolling up and down maybe a little bit. Or because in verse 18, it talks about that the fulfillment of another scripture. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. And Matthew says that scripture was fulfilled when Herod had all the kids slew. He slew all the kids when the Magi came and said, we've been traveling for 2 years. And so he said, well, let's kill all the kids 2 years and under because I don't want anybody else to be king. I get nervous when somebody says somebody's going to be king. So Herod had all the kids slain. Now, what does that mean? There's another scripture being fulfilled. That's the scripture that Jeremiah prophesied of in Jeremiah 31:15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Now to really understand that scripture, you got to go back. Rachel died when she was giving birth to Benjamin. And where did she die? She was about a mile outside of the city of Bethlehem. And she was on the way back to Bethlehem when she went into labor. So now there's a story of somebody in labor in Bethlehem. Now we've got another story of a little woman coming into Bethlehem in labor. And Rachel was in lamentation, dying there on the side of the road as she was in labor and she gave birth. And so in Genesis, we've got a story of Rachel dying, giving birth on the road to Bethlehem. And in the midst of her suffering, a midwife is trying to comfort her with the news that she's having a son. You think about how all in Scripture, you've got that pattern repeated of there's sorrow and then birth. There's dying and then restoration. And so what's happening here is the Scripture's being fulfilled. And there's a story of lamentation and sorrow, but the Savior of the world is being born. Now, in Jeremiah, Rachel, you could say Rachel was weeping as they were led out of the city, going off into Babylon into captivity. But they had a promise that in 70 years they would be returned. They would return back because you know there's that same pattern being repeated: sorrow and then hope, sorrow and then birth. And now in Matthew's day, Rachel's weeping again. This time over the slaughter of all the children at Bethlehem. But in the midst of all that sorrow, there's a child being born. Now, you see how that echoes in John chapter 16, he said, when a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, here we've got the man, Christ Jesus, being born in the midst of all this sorrow. And so that's what it means when it says, in Ramah, Ramah was that little place right outside of Bethlehem. And Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children that would not be comforted because they are not. So his birth was fulfilling Scripture. Another scripture was that he had to be born in Bethlehem, because in Micah chapter 5 it says, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though that thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. And you think about in the midst of all this sorrow and turmoil, that God was actually aligning everything so that they would actually wind up in Bethlehem. Now, the Romans conducted a census every 5 years to kind of keep track of how many people there were, and so they could tax people appropriately. And they called every man and his family to go back to their place of birth so they could count everybody and make sure they had a good tally. Of course, it was really easy with the Jews because the Jews were really good at keeping their ancestry. They kept really good records of where they came from. And so that's why Joseph and Mary went back to Bethlehem, because Joseph was of the house of David. And so David was from Bethlehem. So they went back to Bethlehem because that's where he was from, so that he could be counted, so the Romans could get their taxes. And that forced them to go back to Bethlehem. So that they were going on this long, difficult journey, a long journey, so that Scripture could be fulfilled. Now you think about everybody in Scripture is going on a long journey. Abraham went on a long journey. Ruth went on a long journey. You're going on a long journey, and the whole purpose is so that Scripture could be fulfilled. And what was the purpose of this story? It was to see Christ manifested in flesh. Yeah. Now, Brother Ram said, that looks like a horrible thing, that poor little woman in that place that she was in, heavy with child, and would have to take that long journey. He said, today we would hardly think of putting her in an ambulance. If you was ever in Palestine and see where she had to come through that rugged granite boulders, up through there on the back of a little mule, no matter how bad it was and how cruel it seemed, that was the king's orders. Everybody must do it, young or old, prepared or not prepared. They had to do it anyhow. You had to go back to your place of birth, to the place of your ancestors, to the place of your family. You had to do it. We think so many times in our life it's hard to do without air conditioner. It's hard to do without heating or just different conveniences of life, but they had to do it. She had, even though she was in labor, getting to that time of life. You think about sometimes sisters in labor today. It's hard to drive on a long journey, but she had to get on the back of that little mule. And Brother Ram said it might seem strange, but it was all working together good. Whenever sometimes rough spots in life hit us and we're going through a little rough time, God might be working out something in your life. And he said in this sermon, he said, now, Mary said, he was painting Mary as a real optimist. He's painting her as like somebody that she was going through a rough spot, but it didn't matter to her. He said, now, Joseph, dear, no matter what takes place and what the king says, I am able. He said, that's what Mary said. I'm able. I can sit up on the little mule. It's several miles up around these Rocky Mountains and so forth. If we happen to need a little help, there'll be many in the journey, because we're not the only family. You think about that sitting here this morning. There's a lot of people in the journey, and we help one another. There's a lot of people on the road. There was a lot of people then that had to go back to the city of Bethlehem or wherever they were from because of what the Romans had done. And she said, there's others that suffer the same thing we have. So there's others along the road. And all that grief and all that suffering was so that the word of God can be fulfilled. So in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, you think about all the grief that little girl had to go through, all the, you know, just like, in many ways, just like a lot of the suffering and things that you go through when you're being a Christian example and at your work or in Walmart or wherever you go and people look at you strange, where people were certainly looking at her strange because they didn't understand how she could have a child without knowing a man. All that humiliation and weariness and stress, and God in his providence, he married her to a, he allowed her to be married to a man that wasn't just some little young'un that was, you know, Brother Brown said that Joseph was about 45 years old when he got married, and he already had four kids. So he was a man with experience in some things. His first wife had already died. He was a widower. So he married this little girl, and he wasn't so caught up in just youth and everything. He was caught up, and he was a mature man that knew how to handle things, knew what to be concerned with. A mature man that when they got to Bethlehem, he was he was thinking right about, I got to find a place for this little girl to have, to, for my wife to have a baby. And you think about the Brother Brown lays out all the mental battle that Joseph went through when first, you know, she told him, I'm going to have a baby. You think about that now. That just imagine what how these things would have played out. We read it a lot of times in the Bible is just a story, but these are real people that went through real battles. And for him, to, you know, when she told it, Brother Ram says she must have told him. Joseph going with her noticed this, no doubt. After he was espoused to her, he found out that she was to be mother. Now he was a just man. The Bible said he was. She must have told him of her innocence. And she must have told him of the visit with her and the great archangel, that the archangel had come to her, Gabriel, and had visited her with these great signs that he had told her about, that what was going to happen. Think about how Joseph's reaction to that, that you're going to have a child without knowing any man, and an angel told you, told Mary, is what, that, my, that what a mind battle. So Joseph began to wonder. Now if she don't have somebody to be a shield for her, She's going to be stoned. She's going to die. So to Joseph, it seemed that Mary was trying to get him to be her shield from all the scoffers and scorners. Now you think about that pattern. But Brother Bram's comparing that to the experience that Joseph's going through to almost like being a Christian. Because before you become a Christian, you're not willing to be a shield for Christ. You're not willing to accept all the humiliation and scorn. But after you become a Christian, after you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're ready to let anybody say whatever because you know whom you believe. You've got a revelation of what you're doing here. And so in verse 20, it says, while he thought on these things, he wasn't just taking it haphazardly, but he was really thinking about it. While he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, dreams can be a little bit dangerous. Because, you know, Brother Brown, actually, in this sermon, he's laying out how dreams, you might eat a lot of spaghetti and go to bed and get a dream. And you might dream about being drowning or flying or all kinds of things that are in symbol. But notice how the angel talked to Joseph. It was very specific. He didn't need anybody to interpret it. When you have a dream, when God gives you a dream that's not in symbol, that's not in something where you got to go ask somebody, what do you think this means? It's something that you can rest on. This dream was very specific. He told Joseph how the baby was going to be born, what his name was going to be. He laid out everything about the scenario. So Brother Brown said he pondered on the things. It was so unusual he could hardly comprehend that. How could those things be? But he no doubt, so see now, the example that he's trying to lay out is just like the gospel. People ponder it. Could this message really be true? Could God have really sent a prophet in this age? What if it is true? What if Malachi 4:5-6 really is true? And he pondered on those things. He was pondering on this new thing for that day, just as many ponder today. And he said, while he was studying, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. While he was studying. Because he was serious about it. He got desperate. He wanted to know the answer. He wasn't just, like to we'll put it in today's term, he wasn't just watching TV, but he was studying. So the dream settled the issue for Joseph. And after he had the dream, he was happy to be Mary's shield. And Brother Brown said, when a man can be revealed that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, no matter how many creeds try to turn it back, you're glad to be a shield. You're happy to be a shield. Let them say whatever. You got a big shield up there to knock the fiery darts off. You're happy to be a shield. So they got up, and he talked about how they loaded up that little donkey and fed him an extra bunch of hay and some oats because you know, she's pregnant. She was real heavy, and they loaded her up, and they went down to staggering and falling and pulling over to the side to get some rest every once in a while and moving real slow because she was pregnant, and they had to take care. And they And it began to move on down into Bethlehem. And he said, finally, it began to get dark. Travelers are along the road, much more able to travel faster, and they come on by. And she had to breathe the dust of the rest of them upon horses and carriages and so forth that could go over it, because she had to travel real slow on the account of her condition. What a cruel thing to send that mother up there in that condition. But I can just imagine now, and the little drama as they come up to the top of the hill. Now, you think, picture that in your mind, coming up to the top of the hill. And, you know, if you look at pictures of Bethlehem, that they're not great big mountains. It's just kind of little rolling hills. And they come up to the top of that hill. And down at the bottom of the valley, you can see Bethlehem as they come up. And Bethlehem, he said, Bethlehem sits in kind of like a little valley on the west side of the mountain of Bethlehem, the mountain where the little trail comes up. So you think about them laboring in that condition, coming up over the hill, and it's getting dark, and he said the stars begin to come out. The stars begin to come out. And he said after a while, he come up to the top of the hill, and he began to think, what will I do if I can't find a place? Because that baby might be born tonight. She's been in pain all day. So now what if that baby is to be born tonight? You think about us men that has gone through situations where we got to get our wife to the hospital real quick. You got to hurry. You can't wait. That baby's coming. And think of him going over the city. It's getting dark, and they got to find a place to stay. And it wasn't a place where there was no hospitals or ambulances. They can't have this baby on the side of the road with all these robbers and thieves and strange people on the road traveling. They got to find. It's an emergency. He's got to find somebody, someplace to have this child. But they were looking down that valley, and he looked over there, and he looked as it's getting dark. And Brother Brown, he explains that he looked over there, and he saw a star. He had never remembered seeing one so big. It looked so low, and it was hanging right over Bethlehem. He looked up and he turned, and after he helped Mary up on a rock to rest a little while, he turned around to see it say to her, "Dear, did you ever notice?" And he could even see its reflection in her pretty black eyes as she sat and looked, saying, smiling, said, "Dear, isn't that strange?" She said, "Joseph, honey, I have watched that since the sun went down. I've been watching that star. Somehow or another, I feel real strange tonight that something is fixing to happen." Well, it's usually that way, you know, you have that strange feeling. And she began to watch the star, and Joseph, the little mule, taking his rest, breathing, and they watched the star and had an odd action to it. It didn't act like the rest of the stars. It seemed to be restless, moving. It was waiting for something, watching for something to happen. Now let's leave our little couple sitting here on this rock for a minute. You know how Brother Brown painted that scripture, that that was a supernatural star. And later on he compares it to the light that Paul saw on the road there when he fell on the dirt. He compares it to all these scriptural vindications of something supernatural happening, and that we're now following that same light, where to see Christ manifest in flesh. So he said, let's go in our minds, and we got just a few more minutes, and we'll close on this. Let's go in our minds and go way, hundreds of miles, way into the east, the Magi. The Magi were up on a tower looking. The Magi were, the Medes and the Persians had conquered all the way over into Iraq and Pakistan and Iran and way over to, into the western part of India. So the Magi had followed. The Magi, if you go read the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel refers to them as wise men. That's what Magi were. And Magi was kind of a term that referred to any teacher, priest, physician, astrologer, seer, interpreter of dreams, augurs, soothsayers. These were people that were concerned about the supernatural. So they climbed up in their tower, and they were every night they would look at the stars, and that was their Bible, and they could understand the stars just like Brother Bram said they would study the stars like we go to like a little minister's meeting or a Bible study. The way that they would study the stars, they were so as serious about that as we are about studying the Word. So when they saw something that was a little out of place or something supernatural, it caught their attention, and they began to go on a 2-year journey over to find out where what was going on. And if we'll go, we'll close on this. We'll read the Matthew chapter 2, the first few verses, if you could pull that up, brothers. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And the musicians can go ahead and come forward. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Bless you.